that really was prominent in my time of sabbatical in one of my the reflections that I've done was John 15, a familiar passage. It's not like I had never noticed it before. But it's a time when Jesus points to the disciples saying, I am the vine, he says about himself. I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me, like connect to me and you'll be able to bear much fruit. And without me, you can do nothing. It's a familiar picture that we are the branches and that we need to be connected to Jesus. We need to be connected to him in order to bear fruit. For anything good to come out of our lives, for anything fruitful to be happening that can be a blessing to others. What I felt the Lord was showing me is that I've been so preoccupied with the fruit. So I'm coming to Jesus the vine, I'm saying, God, Lord, more fruit. We want more fruit. We want to see more fruit. I want to see more fruit in my life. I want you to bless me as a husband, as a father, as a pastor. We want to see fruit in the church, Lord. But not just being preoccupied with Jesus himself and with being connected to the vine. I felt he was showing me, like, if you can be more preoccupied with me, the fruit will come. The fruit is a sort of natural result of the branch being connected to the vine. So be more preoccupied with me. Just come to me, not because of sort of what might happen or what should happen or needs to happen, but just because you really enjoy being with me. A simple lesson, but a very profound one, I thought. Even though I think the outcome into my quiet times normally with the main motivation that it would make me a better pastor and a better this and a better that and a better that. And I think the shift I was able to make, and I hope it will last, is that I'll just come because I just want to be with Jesus. And that will result in me being a better pastor, being a better whatever else, every other role I'm carrying in this life. So even though I was right, even though it was true what I was thinking, it will make me a better everything, I had my priorities wrong. And it's actually this that we're going to be talking about today as well. You said if the branch is not continually strengthened by the vine, it won't even be able to carry the fruit that it so desires. Yeah, I wanted all the fruit, but I think it's in grace that the Lord sometimes withholds some of the fruit because he's like, yeah, but you're not connected enough. You're not strong enough to actually be able to carry the fruit. And so with that picture in mind, I want to invite us all to stand up as I go into the scripture reading for today with that picture of the vine, the branch, and the fruit. We're opening in Luke 10. From verse 38, where it says, now as they, that's Jesus and the disciples, went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. So we're going to walk through this story together, again with that picture in mind of the vine and the branch and the fruit. We're going to consider Martha's invitation to Jesus, Mary sitting at his feet, and then the conversation between Jesus and Martha. Because the first thing that we need to pick up in this passage is really that it's Martha that recognizes the moment of Jesus entering into town and she welcomes him in. Of course, we know it's Martha, it's Mary, there's also Lazarus. They were friends of Jesus. We don't know exactly when this all happened in the Chosen series. I think Lazarus and Jesus are old friends from way back when. But we don't know exactly. And this might be the first time that he enters into their house. It's Martha that recognizes the moment. Jesus is in our town. I'm going to go up and I'm going to invite him. And I'm going to invite the disciples in to my house. So this is really a simple question I really want to open with actually today. Are we a church that is opening the door for the King of Glory to come in? Do we recognize the moment? Do we have the desire that the King of Glory would be here with us, that Jesus would be here at the center with us? This message today is a opening of a short series that we'll do that I'll just simply call anticipation. Anticipation. We want to anticipate what the Lord is doing. Anticipate this moment. And this is a moment of anticipation on Martha's side. She recognizes the unique moment and she welcomes Jesus in. She welcomes Jesus in. I heard this saying in a podcast that I follow. Like as soon as the episodes come out, I'll try to listen to it within a day. It's called the Awakening Podcast. And in that, a pastor called John Tyson would say that in every church service, the Holy Spirit comes. And he it's like he's dipping his toe in to check the water temperature. Like you did in the summer and when you were in a swimming pool, outdoor swimming pool. You're like, not jumping into cold water. So you're dipping your toe in just to check the temperature. And so the Holy Spirit's doing that. It's checking the temperature to see if he's welcome or not. To see if he's really welcomed or not. I want us to be a church where he feels welcome. I want us to be a church where we say, yes, come Holy Spirit, to everything that you want to do, to everything that you want to say, however you want to move, we welcome it. Might surprise us, might look different than what we expect. It might be uncomfortable, might be challenging. But to everything that you are, yes, come in. Are we a church that welcomes the work of the Holy Spirit? Are we a church that says, your kingdom come, your will be done here amongst us? See, the answer to that question is not automatically yes. Do we truly want the Lord to be with us in our gatherings? So Jesus comes to town. Martha opens her home. This is basically what we try and do every Sunday at 1 o'clock, an hour before the service starts. And with a bunch of people that kind of believe in this idea that we need to welcome the Lord in. We gather up in the room up there on the balcony, on my left, and we pray. And the essence of our prayer, what we're praying about, we're praying for some things in the church and stuff, but really every prayer is around, we welcome you, Lord. We welcome who you are. We welcome what you do. We welcome your presence. We welcome your Holy Spirit to move among us. See, God is present everywhere, but there's something that's called the manifest presence of God. And the manifest presence of God is not automatically everywhere you turn. See, God is in us, and he's omnipresent, but there's a thing called the manifest presence where you walk in and you notice like something's different, something's up. Something is, I want to be here. I want to stay here. It's some people call it the love of God or the overwhelming sense of God's presence. That's what we want because that's when people get saved. That's when people get healed. That's where people get set free. That's what we want. I believe we're entering a significant season in the life of our church where the Lord is preparing us to be more fruitful. And I believe it's going to require us to anticipate. I like the word anticipate. The other day, I was cycling through the city. Actually, I was cycling back and forth through the other side of the city twice. So it's a lot of... And I noticed how much anticipation you do when you cycle through our city. Maybe you are a new member of the cycling community of Groningen. Welcome. It is a rule in Groningen that when you notice someone messing up on the bike, not anticipating well, then you tell them off in English because the assumption is it's probably a new international. It's okay. There's a lot of grace among Dutch people as well. But you do a lot of anticipation. You're going through, you're looking at the behavior of others. Are they going to give me priority? How fast are they going? How soon are they going to be at the cross point? And so you adjust your own behavior, your speed, and how you turn to the behavior of others. You watch closely what others are doing. You get these points where there's the traffic lights, and it's from all four directions, the people on the bikes get a green light to go. And then it's like 100 people moving at the same time, and all like, and you need to sort of adjust to what is happening. I believe our upcoming season of fruitfulness is going to require us to anticipate, to watch closely what the Lord is doing, and then adjust our behavior accordingly. That's why we need to watch, we need to listen, we need to be in tune, to understand what the Lord is doing so we can bless it, so we can see that moving forward. And it just really seems like the Lord is doing a new thing in our time. I want to be careful not to overemphasize this and not to run away with it, sort of. But I've noticed over the last 1 year, primarily the last 2 years, that something new seems to be brewing in the church. As broad as I can picture it, is in the West. That it seems like the tides are turning for the gospel in a positive sense. After decades of secularization and centuries of de-Christianization that happened since what is called the Enlightening, there seems to be a new openness to the gospel and a new hunger for something that makes sense especially among young people. It's something different than what I've seen so far in my life, and I know. I don't seem that old, but I'm 40. I know it's okay. I am 40, and I've not seen this in my lifetime. All I've seen is secularization. All I've seen is a constant critique of Christianity. A more and more people leaving church. My friends leaving church. Even people that I've studied theology with leaving the church. People around you going, they think it's ridiculous. Oh, do you still go to church? Still, you're one of those people that has not discovered it's all fairy tale, so we'll just have grace on you and tolerate you and leave you be, but it's okay. You'll come to the divine insight of atheism one day. See, these days are over. I have to get used to this. I don't like, it sounds funny, I don't like speaking about faith in public. This is not in public for me. This is a safe space. This is my community. This is my people. But when I'm in the grocery store and my daughter wants to have a conversation about something that we've read in the Bible, I just like, this is not a great time. I don't know. I don't want to explain the whole thing right here, right now, because it's odd, because it's a public space and people are going to think stuff. Yeah, I know. But this is what it's like to live in a secularized country. And I've got to wrap my head around that something is shifting. Something is shifting in the West where there's a new openness to the gospel. In the Netherlands, the trend of secularization has stopped. So we're now at a sort of like, there's not more people going to church, but there's at least also not less people going to church than a year ago. So that's, yes, good. In the UK, and I've been in the UK over the last couple of months twice, there's a growth in church attendance, especially among what is called Gen Zers, that I think are between 18 and 24 now, you'll be able to tell me. There's an increase in the UK among Gen Zers going to church from 4% to 16%. So that's quadruple. That's a lot. That's why they're calling it the quiet revival. Because it's not happening in one hotspot, this one church where there's one preacher, where all these great things are happening, and just people flocking there. Now it's happening everywhere. It's happening in the more traditional churches, more charismatic churches, all the churches in between, and something seems to be shifting. And in the two conferences I was at in the UK, couldn't stop talking about it. Not because they were getting excited because of some stats, but because they said it seems like the stats are now finally backing up the stories that we've seen develop in our church, we were wondering what was up. Why is our alpha not just filled with 10 people, but with 40 people? Why are all these people want to get baptized? Why are all these kids getting dreams and visions of Jesus and entering into church with all these questions? What is happening? Is it only us? And it's not. It's gonna take a while before something like that would happen in the Netherlands as well. But I think it is time for us to anticipate that the tides are turning. And we need to adjust our behavior. We need to adjust, I think, our expectations. Something is brewing in this time. Both a new interest in the gospel in the world, but also, I think, a fresh desire for consecration within the church. So the first lesson from this story is, are we a church that's going to open the door to Jesus, say, come in, whatever you want to do, come in, whatever you want to say, we'll listen. The second big lesson is that we need to get our priorities straight. So what's happening is that Jesus enters into the house. Mary sits at his feet. So Martha had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching, but Martha was distracted with much serving. So initially it's Martha that recognizes the moment, I need to invite this Jesus in because I've heard everything about him and I'm excited and he might be the Messiah and I want him in my house. She's anticipating what could happen when he would enter into her house. So she recognizes the moment and she anticipates well, but then it's Mary who recognizes what she needs to do once Jesus is in. He's like, I'm gonna not do what is expected of me. The cultural expectation would be for the woman of the house to serve, to make sure that everyone's well after all the traveling and all of this, and they get food and they get this, but she's like, no. This is my unique opportunity. This is Jesus in my house. I'm going to sit at his feet. I'm going to listen. I'm going to do nothing else but just that. Somehow she understands, without Jesus even saying a word, that he invites her to break the cultural norm, to come and sit at his feet. And this was the invitation that was most prominent to me in my sabbatical. Disconnecting from the responsibilities of leading the church, giving myself headspace, time to reflect, time to pray, pay attention of what is going on in my heart and what the Lord might be speaking into that, and just to simply enjoy being in a relationship with God without any further things that had to result in at that time. Mary got her priorities straight. She understood that moment was a moment to disconnect from her responsibilities and to sit and enjoy unhurried time with Jesus. I think this is also something that many of us need, to enjoy unhurried time with Jesus, to take some of what you've experienced during your holiday into your crazy new schedule of September. Do we make space for scripture, for prayer, for silence? For the last couple of years, we've been talking about this a lot. Spiritual disciplines, ways to practices to help you to dedicate your everyday life to Jesus, to bring him to the center of your everyday life. Still love the materials provided by Practicing the Way, this organization. How to incorporate things like prayer and scripture and fasting and all these things into your everyday life. I'm just wondering how you're doing with it. So I've been reading about this a lot. I've been listening about all this teaching a lot, and we've introduced it and I've preached on it a lot. I found it hard to really continue with all the intentions that I had. I'm like, okay, I'm the pastor, so I need to set high expectations for myself because I want to lead the way in this. And then you don't hold your own expectations and you're like, oh, I'm just such a failure. Just wondering, how are you doing with it? When we were going through the prayer practice, you possibly set some intentions. Just wondering, half a year later, how are you doing with those intentions? Same for fasting, same for scripture, same for all the things we've discussed. Sabbath, it's a while back. Maybe some of us remember that, the Sabbath practice. How are you doing with it? We're going to do a new practice in October when the group season starts, diving into the community practice. Looking forward to that. Just wondering how we're all doing with our everyday life with Jesus. But secondly, I think the invitation from the Lord to come and sit at his feet is not only for us individually, it's also for us as a church, to come to worship, to come to drink from his presence, to enjoy a time of worship like Bobby just did, just for being in this space and worshiping with all these people. The story talks about two sisters, about Mary and about Martha, and they both kind of represent two different responses to Jesus, one of prayer, another one of work, one of sort of lingering, the other of action, one of receiving, and the other of giving. And I think that Jesus approves both, but he tells us to prioritize the one above the other. Do not think jumping into action and doing all kinds of things. Don't think of jumping into action and doing all kinds of things in this church if it's going to take you away from the time that you need to receive. Because just as a car needs fuel to drive, just as fire needs oxygen, just as a branch needs to be connected to the vine, so our soul needs time with Jesus in order to live a life that glorifies him, that testifies of who he is. So lastly, let's consider a little conversation between Martha and Jesus. So she goes up to Jesus and says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Martha has chosen a good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Jesus notices Martha may be serving, and she's doing it with all the best intentions of the world. She's abiding by cultural norms. She's showing a heart of hospitality. She's doing it for the glory of Jesus. She's serving him, serving his disciples, she's going for it. And it's like Jesus saying, love your heart. Don't necessarily love your attitude right now. But he could notice that she is not serving from an overflowing heart. She's serving from a tank that's running on empty. And it makes her anxious and troubled. It's not just she's a busybody. No, it makes her anxious and it makes her troubled. So Martha invites Jesus into her house. And somehow, 15 minutes later, she's anxious. She welcomes the Prince of Peace into her house, but it results in her being upset and angry and anxious and frustrated. And I love that Jesus just looks her in the eyes and just tells her, just with so much love in his tone, Mary actually chose the good portion here. It will not be taken away from her. And it's like he's inviting her to come and sit down as well. Like, we don't need anything else. We're good. Okay. Come and enjoy being here. You need to recognize that this is the moment to sit instead of serve. What I love is that Jesus is not telling Martha to disregard her own personality, which is probably more set on serving others, on pleasing others, on busyness, on... He's also not asking her to disregard her values or her cultural expectations. But instead, he's just inviting her to prioritize something else in this moment. Closeness to himself. Her intentions to serve are good. but her priorities were out of order. And so Martha and Mary represent these two different responses to Jesus entering the house. And I think both are important. But there's an order in what comes first. I think when the Lord is moving, and if the Lord would actually move, if there would actually be a, let's say there would be a revival in Groningen. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Fantastic. Okay, what if 100 people suddenly show up on a Sunday and like, introduce me to Jesus, please? It's busy. Yeah, it's not just like, oh, all right, the Lord's doing it and we'll just celebrate along with you. No. That's get cracking. That's you know those fields that are ready to harvest. Now go and harvest them. Harvesting is hard work. Harvesting is the tough time of the year. If you come from a more agricultural country or background or whatever, then you know that it's harvesting. That's a tough work. So if the Lord would really do something new, it's going to require us to kick into action. It's going to require us to make overtime. So it's important that we get our priorities straight, because we cannot do the hard work if it's not matched by spending quality time with Jesus. Jesus reminds us today that we need to become like Mary first, sitting at his feet, eyes open, ears open, heart open. We need to first be like the branch that is connected to the vine and there receive everything it needs in order to serve and to bear fruit. So as we look forward to a new season, I believe the invitation for us is to first prioritize his presence, and secondly, to get the house in order. First, to prioritize being with him, and then worry about the fruit, then worrying about all the things that we need to do. I'm telling you, we're not doing Surf September, you know, for no reason. First of all, it's an opportunity for you, as you're new in the church, in the city, far away from home. Man, I know that's a lot. It's quite something to move countries. It's quite something to, you know, the sun is shining now, but we'll speak again next week. It's going to be tough. And you're going to need to connect to a community. And one of the ways to do that is through a Bible study group that we call discipleship groups. But another way is going to be to just find, hey, I want to contribute in some way. What can I do? And you're like, well, what can you do? And you're like, well, this and that. And like, you know, I love connecting with people. Like, yeah, you're on the hospitality team. And like, you know, actually, I'm a drummer. Anyone a drummer or bass player? Yes. Like, get on the team. We have this drum set there and it's not being used in ages. It's just to dust off. And then, yes, we need all kinds of things. We want you to get connected. We want you to feel connected, like you're part of something, because you're going to need that as a new international in our city. You're going to need to feel connected, home away from home. But it's really, there's a bunch of things that we need to get in order in our church, on just in the teams, but also on leadership levels. But we're going to prioritize being with Jesus. We need to be careful not to get into a mode of anxiety and of frustration. Just look at that person just coming to church week after week, enjoying the worship, but never serving. And Jesus might just be saying to us, you know, he or she has chosen a good portion and will not be taken away. We need to be careful not to serve out of anxiety or guilt, out of ambition, but out of an overflow of our relationship with Jesus. So the invitation is, now is the time to listen. Now is also the time to serve, but it needs to start with listening. It needs to start with being with Jesus. So we anticipate what the Lord is going to do in this next season. Amen. Amen.